Yo, yo, what's up? It's In the Thick. I'm Maria Hinojosa, and this is a podcast about politics, race, and culture from a POC perspective.
And I'm Julio Ricardo Varela. It's Friday, and this is ITT Sound Off.
Oh my God, I'm so happy to be in the studio with you, Julio.
Yes.
I'm so happy.
Me too.
It's great to be speaking with you. You guys, okay, but espérate, before we even start, real super quick.
Yep.
All of you who live out there in Las Vegas, you know, you better be showing up for our live show. It's the first live show of 2020. Yes, in Las Vegas. We're going to be talking about the POC vote in Nevada, the role of immigrant and labor rights for the 2020 election. It's going to be dope.
If you're in Vegas or if you're near Vegas, it's very simple. Just go to the following link, bit.ly/ITT-Las Vegas. You can RSVP. Again, that's bit.ly/ITT-Las Vegas.
All right, let's get right to it with our first topic. So, you know, we're going to be talking about the impeachment, which is truly, truly historic. No matter what anybody says, we are living through historic times.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, it's also very discomforting what's happening. I think we're all feeling it. I think if everybody right now is just a little bit like, oh, what a week, even if you weren't watching the entire thing, there's a lot to talk about. So the trial, because it is a trial, okay?
Right.
There's the Chief Justice there, right? And it started officially on Tuesday. The Democrats gave their opening statements, and basically they've been presenting their case over these 3 days. And, you know, it is the thing that is being talked about on cable news. By the way, it is not the thing that is leading most international news. I mean, I left Mexico right when it was starting, but it's not like everybody's obsessed with it.
Right.
It is challenging to be seen this moment in history where not many POC voices are being heard, except for there are some people who are really, really doing so well, like Eddie Glaude,
yes,
who's our friend, Maya Wiley.
Yes.
But when you don't have a kind of consistent POC perspective on these issues of government, you know, we're all losing something because this country is POC.
Yeah.
So it's so important when the rest of the world is really feeling the consequence of all of these policies. I mean, that's certainly how I feel.
I've watched the whole thing. I'm going to say it right now. Either.
Seriously?
Either on television or on the audio. I actually tweeted out that Adam Schiff sounds like a smooth jazz station for me because his voice has been very calming for some reason.
When we're done, we believe that we will have made the case overwhelmingly of the president's guilt. That is, he's done what he's charged with. He withheld the money. He withheld the meeting. He used it to coerce Ukraine to do these political investigations. He covered it up. He obstructed us. He's trying to obstruct you. And he's violated the Constitution.
Espérate un segundo, Julio. Wait, you are one of the extraordinarily lucky human beings.
It's multitasking.
Because I'm sure there are people all around the world who have been doing this.
Yeah.
So you're one of the human beings who, along with my husband, basically has been watching this gavel to gavel.
That's why Henman and I are like bros. But here's the thing. I work,
right,
and I'm listening to it. So it's not like I wasn't doing journalism. Believe me, there's a lot of stories to cover.
But the point is that you're able to be catching the kind of drift of it all.
Yeah.
And so your takeaway is,
it's historic.
Because I have to be honest, because I always am.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I got back from Mexico on Sunday, kind of ripped emotionally and physically.
Right.
And then I had to jump in and finish this major project soon to be announced. And then I had to jump into work, and then I had to teach. And so I've been living life. So I haven't been. But my husband, again, he was like, this is democracy. This is what it looks like.
Yeah.
This is it. Because I was like, authoritarianism, we're verging into it. Look at what's happening. I'm terrified. He's like, this is not authoritarianism.
You know what? It's funny you say that, Maria, because, you know, I've been kind of skeptical a little bit about this the whole time. But then once it started, the pomp, the tradition, the history of it, it really has hit me. But that's what pisses me off about this, Maria, because I actually think the House impeachment managers, compared to the hearings and what happened in the House of Representatives that led to this impeachment, what the House managers are doing right now, presenting this case and what we've seen, and I know the defense is going to come in and do their thing, I think it's been excellent. And I'm not someone to praise politicians.
Not at all.
But I just think,
not at all,
these House managers are doing this presentation, telling the facts and going, oh, wow. And here's the problem. I compare it to high school, Maria. You know when you give a really good presentation in high school, then the jocks are in the back being like, yeah, that's stupid, dude. Like, that's so stupid. That's the Republican defense of Donald Trump. That's basically what it's become to. And that's what pisses me off, because I do think we're really losing the history of this, the historical context of impeachment.
Yeah.
You know, you talk about POC representation and lack of it, but I do want to at least acknowledge one of the House impeachment managers who I think has done an amazing job. And that's Representative Hakeem Jeffries, who actually laid out this history in his opening statement.
Nearly 140 years ago, the Supreme Court recognized that when the House or Senate is determining a question of impeachment, there is no reason to doubt the right to compel the attendance of witnesses and their answer to proper questions in the same manner and by the use of the same means that courts of justice can in like cases. Our nation's founders and greatest legal minds recognized these principles early on. Supreme Court Justice Joseph Story explained that the president should not have the power of preventing a thorough investigation of his conduct or of securing himself against the disgrace of a public conviction by impeachment if he should deserve it.
Also, shout out to Representative Jeffries, because he also quoted Biggie this week as well.
Yeah, that was great.
And we are here, sir, to follow the facts, apply the law, be guided by the Constitution, and present the truth to the American people. That is why we are here, Mr. Sekulow. And if you don't know, now you know. And if you don't know, now you know, you know, you know.
I mean, but it's this point. It's like I compare it to high school, because the actual history of this country and the precedents that have been set, right? There's a history. This is not the first flipping impeachment.
Exactly.
So just wanted to share this. And this is the interview on Democracy Now! With Manisha Sinha. And she's a professor from the University of Connecticut who made this connection to the historical impeachment trial of Donald Trump that's happening right now. And made the connection to Andrew Johnson's impeachment in 1868.
That's what I'm talking about.
Well, Andrew Johnson was a lot like Trump. He was known to rile up racial divisions. He was known to ignore the powers of Congress. He was also known to use this idea of executive privilege to an unprecedented degree, to interfere in the program of Reconstruction in the South immediately after the Civil War, which would have given freed people basic civil and political rights. So both in terms of thinking that the presidency allows its occupant to pretty much do anything he wants, and also in terms of really endangering national ideals, national interests, and in flouting the rule of law, Johnson was a lot like Trump.
And there you have it. Mm. I mean, for me, the reason why I've been feeling so discomforted, and that's a nice way of saying it, is because la democracia está en juego. Democracy is at play here. Like, so here's the thing. Mm-hmm. We do realize that more than half of the American public believes that Trump has committed crimes and should be removed from office. Like, those are, if we're going to take this polling, I'm going to quote some guys from a little podcast out there. It's about...
You just want to be on it.
Well, I do.
You just want to be on the little podcast out there.
Okay, Pod Save America. But anyway, so the way they talked about it was that this basically is like one half of the country refuses to acknowledge. It's like they're not even acknowledging the existence then of laws that have been broken.
Yeah.
And he was like saying, like, it's 3 million fewer voters that elected this president, who is now protected by a Senate that in its totality has fewer votes than the Democrats.
Yeah.
And so you have a minority protecting, and you begin to have like these bigger, you know, for me, again, there is the historical thing. This is not my first impeachment. This is not my first impeachment, yo.
This ain't my first impeachment.
You know, it would be my third if Nixon had been impeached, you know, if there had been a trial.
Right. I mean, he was going to if he didn't resign, of course, that was going to happen. So,
OK.
So, you know, 2.5 impeachments.
And Julio, what about for you, like having watched it all?
No, I'm saying that this is it. I just feel, I hate to say this, unless like it's like a Jimmy Stewart, like Mr. Smith goes to Washington moment where like some Republican senators are like, this is wrong. Like, or unless John Bolton comes and says, yeah, it was a drug deal. Or Mick Mulvaney's like, yeah, the president told me to do this. I mean, watching it is historic. I think people need to pay attention. I don't want to just poo-poo it. I just want to be like, oh, the fix is in. There is a part of me that's like kind of believes that maybe something will happen and maybe witnesses will show up and this might change. So, you know, we're going to Vegas. So I'm still, you know, the odds are small, but in Vegas, you know, the odds are the odds. You can still like believe in that. But anyway,
let me just tell you this thing that one of my trainers said to me, and we don't often talk politics.
Maria's gym correspondent here. Okay.
But, you know, he's a black man in the United States of America in New York City. And he said, if this guy gets reelected, they might as well just take the Constitution and rip it in half. And I was like, whoa. We didn't even say in regards to the impeachment, in regards to this or how I'm feeling. He just was like, and I think that that's what a lot of us are very concerned about, is that, again, the normalization, the way in which we're watching this happen. And I guess just finally for me, I'm so thankful for In the Thick and for each one of our listeners, because at least we exist.
Yeah.
You know, 5 years ago, we didn't. And so at least we are part of the dialogue, but no, it's for real. And it's scary. For sure.
All right. So let's move on to our second topic, which actually, Maria, is an immigration update. And this is another story that happened this week that definitely, I think, went under the radar. So on Monday, there were thousands of migrants in a caravan traveling from Guatemala to Mexico. They were blocked from entry from Mexican immigration authorities at the border. And there were reports of Mexican troops using tear gas and riot shields to stop the migrants from crossing, even throwing rocks at them. What we know, most of the migrants are from Honduras. They're seeking asylum. They're escaping violence and economic troubles in this country, which, you know, that has been sort of the ongoing reason. Hundreds were left in detention. Many were also already deported. This week, there was a days-long standoff. And then on Thursday, hundreds of migrants crossed into Mexico. They walked for hours along a highway until Mexican immigration agents stopped them, rounded them up in buses. There's images of that. Maria, you've literally been in Mexico, in this region. You've come back. You're going to do some reporting for Future Latino USA. In the context of what just happened this week, Maria, what can you share? You know, and how are you grappling with these two realities? Tell me what's up.
So much is up. Actually, you and I hadn't even spoken, and you had already written a piece for NBC Think about how Donald Trump's wall is represented by a human wall on the southern border.
Yeah.
So what's happened is that Mexico, and you know, the political reasons behind it, is what has my soul so sad, because this is the active cooperation of a so-called leftist government elected by the people of Mexico in response to years of corruption from the PRI and the PAN. And a leftist, people refer to the president of Mexico as AMLO. His name is Andrés Manuel López Obrador, AMLO for short.
Who says, I'm all about love and nothing else.
Who's all about love. But basically, in order for him to not have the finger pointed at him as some kind of leftist radical Chavez who's like, you know, screw you, United States, he's working with Donald Trump on this. And he's prepared to throw the migrants and the refugees under the bus. You know, for me, this notion of calling them migrants and refugees, these are human beings. I was in the shelters. I saw them. I was with the children.
Yeah.
You know, the night that the caravan left. And by the way, these are not, again, hello context. These are, you know, hundreds, 1,000 or 2,000. This is not 50 million. This is not a million. This is not half a million. This is a teeny tiny slice of humanity that can no longer take it. And that the reason why they decide to move in a caravan is because these policies have made it so, so dangerous for families to come alone that they come in this case. And so they have been dehumanized now so that the Mexican officials, which, by the way, their language is beautiful. I know. Mm. They're like, no, we're not detaining. We are rescuing. No, we are not deporting. We are relocating or returning to their homes.
It's like 1984. It feels like 1984.
We are not putting them into detention. We are giving them shelter in a prison, the largest detention facility for migrants in all of Latin America. So, yes, the reporting, Julio, has been phenomenal, and it's coming up on Latino USA. But I think for me, just remember this. We're not talking about tens of thousands of people. We're talking about human beings who could not take it any longer.
Yeah.
Each one of them with a story that is powerful. And we're talking about two governments that have made this deal to yet again, as history shows, throw migrants and refugees under the bus, under the water, under the ships, under the airplanes, under everything as expendable people, especially in a country like Mexico that, you know, Catholicism, you know, pretty clear there. This is Jesus Christ who they're sending back.
Yeah.
This is Jesus Christ. This is Joseph and Mary. This is who they're sending back. And I'm heartbroken.
I just want to share two things, because one of the reports that we've been sharing, Associated Press reports at Futuro Media, principally with Latino Rebels, Latino USA, there were reports of these people praying before they decided to cross into Mexico. This image of like a group prayer. So the Catholicism imagery that you mentioned, Maria, it just really hits home. But I just want to share one last thing before we move on. There was a story that broke Thursday night with the Associated Press. It's at Latino Rebels. I'm just going to read the lead here. It's from San Salvador, El Salvador, and this is what the AP reported. In one of the first cases of its kind, a court in El Salvador ordered a man held in jail Thursday pending trials on charges he promoted the formation of a migrant caravan. So Raul Antonio Ventura, he's been charged for human trafficking, for sending social media and telephone messages encouraging people to gather in San Salvador on January 20th to start a caravan to the United States. Knowing the history of El Salvador, Maria, who the hell knows how this is happening?
No, but this is what it looks like.
Yeah.
So we need to understand. And this is where, you know, we do have this freedom to be on the air talking about these issues. And I'm not scared right now to leave my office and go and, you know, et cetera, walk my dog, et cetera. But there is now in Mexico and in Central America a direct attack against journalists.
Yeah.
And also against human rights activists and lawyers, like frontal attacks against them, because this is exactly what it looks like. They're just, you know, coming after them, silencing them.
Yeah.
And it's part of the plan of criminalizing the entire conversation. Remember that. It's about criminalizing the entire conversation. And now let's move to our final topic. Right. And I'm so glad that we're going to be talking about this because, again, another story that has kind of been buried under the impeachment coverage, which is, again, important and historic. We're going to turn now to what's been happening in Puerto Rico since the devastating earthquakes that happened earlier this month. Since Monday, Puerto Ricans have been protesting and calling for the resignation of Puerto Rico's governor, Wanda Vázquez, after a recent discovery of a warehouse in Ponce, which is the second city, that was filled with unused disaster supplies that had been there since Hurricane Maria hit Puerto Rico in 2017. Now, Vázquez, the governor, fired three high-ranking officials in her administration since Saturday and ordered an investigation to the warehouse. Pero coño, perdón, Julio, pero how is this possible? That just what?
Well, I can't get into a conversation about colonialism in a Friday in the thick sound off. We have to dig deeper into this. But a couple of things that people need to know. Thursday, Vázquez, after saying that she didn't know anything about the warehouses, because she said that on Saturday, it was a statement, and I actually tweeted about all that. On Thursday, she tells Telemundo Puerto Rico that she always knew about it.
What?
Yeah, seriously. And then last Saturday, after being fired by the governor of Puerto Rico, the former housing secretary, his name is Fernando Gil Enseñat, he claimed that she knew about the supplies.
Oh, my goodness.
And the warehouses. And then as of Thursday night, Maria, there was another protest in San Juan from the capital to Viejo San Juan, to San Juan, demanding for Vázquez's resignation. After 11 o'clock, there was reports of tear gas used on the protesters, and we shared those tweets. Artists like Residente of Calle 13, Ricky Martin, they also promoted the protest. They call for Wanda Vázquez's resignation. Here we go again. Again, it feels to me, Maria, that this is what happened 6 months ago. It's very unclear if this is going to turn into sort of the mass summer indignation that led to the resignation of Ricardo Rosselló. But there are some clear problems with the government of Puerto Rico. We've never only blamed Trump on this. I've been saying this for years. The political class of Puerto Rico has severe issues as well. And it cooperates with the federal government. And please stop coming after me about Trump. I get it. Trump has also effed up about Puerto Rico, but also Puerto Rico's political class. And this is a movement that people are going to try to discredit. But I'm telling you, there's something different that's happened in Puerto Rico since Hurricane Maria. And people need to pay attention.
So, you know, myself and a Latino USA team were in Puerto Rico at the end of last year, and we were doing reporting on the ground there. And the level of corruption, okay? So the way I see it, it's very, very simpleton, okay?
Yes.
The fish stinks from the head down.
Mm-hmm.
The United States is the head.
Yep.
The United States could give a shit about Puerto Rico historically.
Yep.
Yes, intensified with Trump throwing paper towels and insulting the people of Puerto Rico every single time that he can. But then since the fish stinks from the head down, the governor is like, no, well, they don't really give a shit about it. So meanwhile, I'm just going to start doing whatever I want to do. And the people of all of the, you know, below the governor, all of the mayors that are there like for life are just like, no, pues yo también, yo, I'm just going to do what I want to do. I'm just going to abuse my power. Because
yeah, it's just the culture. It's what it is.
And it starts because it is about colonialism, in my view.
Right. Everyone in the government of Puerto Rico right now, from the governor to the Speaker of the House to the President of the Senate to the Resident Commissioner to the head of the Fiscal Control Board who runs Latinos for Trump, who's part of the Latinos for Trump campaign advisory board, every one of them, Maria, Republicans. They're all Republicans. That's all I'm going to say.
That's all you need to say. All right. I'm Maria Hinojosa.
And I'm Julio Ricardo Varela.
Uno, dos, tres.
And remember, dear listener, go to Apple Podcasts to rate and review us, because it really helps. Also, you can listen to In the Thick on Pandora, Spotify, wherever you decide today to listen to your podcast. Follow us on Twitter and on Instagram at In the Thick Show. Like us on Facebook. And we're really serious about 2020, increasing our listeners to like, you know, tenfold. So that means you got to be like, yo, do you know how to do podcasts? Do you listen to In the Thick? And then just, you know, get them to subscribe right there and then. In the Thick is produced by Nicole Rothwell and Noor Saudi. Our audio engineers are Stephanie LeBeau, Julia Caruso, and Leah Shaw. Our digital editor is Luis Luna. Our intern is Carla Arroyo. The music you heard is courtesy of Nacional Kept and ZZK Records. We'll see you on our next episode, dear listener. Thank you for listening. Bye.
We're going to Vegas. Bye.
We're going to Vegas. I'll gamble a quarter. Okay. 'Cause I went to teach in my styling. You saw what happened, right?
Okay. Yes, I saw the fur coat. And
no, you saw who liked it, right?
All right, I'm moving on.
Hold on. Did you see that AOC liked my style? Hello?
Who doesn't like your style?
But I'm just saying, AOC. Okay,
all right,
move on.
There you go. You internet star, Mariana Hossa, so proud of you. Tear of pride.
The opinions expressed by the guests and contributors in this podcast are their own and do not necessarily reflect the views of Futuro Media or its employees.